Right. Yeah.
We'll call the Gage County Board of Supervisors meeting for Wednesday, September 3rd, 2025, order at 8:45 on the clock. We'll begin with the Pledge of Allegiance.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Open Meetings Act is on the wall to my left. Attendance by observation: Adams, Claybaugh, Haxby, Thiemann, Lytle, Dorn, and Juergens. Up first is the consent agenda. Approve the general agenda. Approve minutes of the meeting held August 20th, 2025. Approve all claims through September 3rd, 2025 in the amount of $966,818.09. Accept claim number 250800189 to Hard Rock Quarries LLC in the amount of $8,680.72, and claim number 250800190. I did not. To Johnny's Welding in the amount of $204.54 to be voted on separately below. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve specifications and call for bids on 2025-2026 snow removal for the courthouse, sheriff's jail's office, veterans office, former bus stop location, and parking lots. Bids to be opened on September 17, 2025 at 9:15 a.m. Ask for a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented, unless you have an item you'd like to pull off and discuss.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Lytle, second by Dorn to approve the consent agenda. Any discussion? If not, please vote. 7 in favor, motion carries. Regular agenda: approve or disapprove claim number 250800189 to Hard Rock Quarries LLC in the amount of $8,680.72. This is a company I'm involved with.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Dorn, second by Juergens. Any discussion? Please vote. 6 in favor with Thiemann abstaining. Motion carries. Approve or disapprove claim number 250800190 to Johnny's Welding, Inc. in the amount of $204.54. This would bring the total amount of claims paid through September 3rd, 2025 to $975,703.35.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Dorn, second by Claybaugh. Any discussion? If not, please vote. 6 in favor with Juergens abstaining. Motion carries. Comments from the public or requests for future agenda items for regular board meeting. Good morning, Margaret.
Good morning.
Can you give us your name and address for the record, please?
Sec. I'm going to move these. I refuse to sit on a stool where my legs are going to dangle like I'm in a high chair. So, anyway, Margaret Haith, 104 West Granville, Beatrice. Good morning, everyone. First of all, I want to mention that I am, when I speak at these...
Margaret, would you pull the microphone down just so that we get you on record?
Sure. Is that better? Anyway, when I speak at these meetings, I'm not always just speaking for myself. I'm retired. I only live less than 10 minutes from the courthouse, so it's really easy for me to come to these meetings. But other people, it's not so easy. So I'm sort of the eyes and ears and sometimes the voice for people that can't attend these meetings. So with that said, some of us are just a little bit confused. On August 6th, there was an agenda item that the board was to approve or disapprove a certain action. And I've attended these meetings in over 2 years, and not once had I ever seen anybody be allowed to speak after an agenda item. But that day, several people showed up and were wanting to speak on that agenda item. And I asked you, Mr. Thiemann, if they would be allowed to speak, and your response was that the board always welcomed input from the public, and these people were allowed to speak. So on August 20th, we had a board meeting, and there was an agenda item to approve or disapprove a certain action. I stood up to be recognized, and I was told I wasn't going to be allowed to speak. And I asked why not, and I was told that it was board business. So you can understand some of our confusion in when is it okay to talk after an agenda item and when is it not okay. Now, I like the way the city does it. After every agenda item, when the city is done discussing, before they vote, Mayor Morgan always asks, is there anything from the public? Now, very seldom does someone get up to speak, but at least they're given that opportunity. So I would like to see this board change that process and at least after an agenda item, offer the public if they have any input. But doing it, sometimes you do it for one person or sometimes you do it for another, or depending on the agenda item, that just leads to confusion. And two words that I hear a lot from these in these board meetings are transparency and being fair. And when you only let certain people talk on certain items, that does give the perception that this board is not being fair. And I know that is not what you guys want. So thank you all for listening.
Thank you, Margaret. Anyone else from the public like to speak at public comment? If not, we will move on to committee reports. Building and grounds, winter lights, Mr. Dorn.
Dave's here.
Morning, Mr. Jones.
Good morning. We just had a few things we talked about. Plymouth Electric got the bid for the changing out the LED lights. They started yesterday, and they did the extension office meeting room and the EOC yesterday, and today they're going to continue on first floor changing out the panel lights. So it looks like that's a project that it's going to be a little inconvenient in some offices, but they'll just turn off one light switch and just do as needed and just kind of move around the desk the best. So a little inconvenient, but it doesn't take very long for them to change off the lights. The ramp project, we have that scheduled for October 20th is the date of the new door to be installed, and that's the last thing to be done. So we're planning on everything, all the other work to be done shortly before that. So I've talked to Greg Dennis. He didn't think his taking out the center column and installing the new I-beam up there, he's thinking about 3 or 4 days. And I haven't talked to Lamo Plumbing yet as far as concrete work, but we're trying to condense this into the smallest amount of time since we won't have a handicap ramp during that time. So the 20th is a day that it should be all complete. So we're just going to work our way up to that date. Trees, I am getting bids for removing 5 trees in the courthouse that look pretty sad. One is the linden. It had some storm damage just this last storm. It broke off a great big branch, and it had some rot in it earlier, I noticed. And then this big pin oak tree out here and a couple hackberries over by the parking lot. And we have a little ornamental tree that's not doing very well either. So I'd like to take those out and put some new trees in right away, get that going. And then on, we did talk a little bit about storage issues that we have. So during our next committee meeting, we are going to have some county court will come down and give their opinion on storage of what they need. So we'll talk about that. And they did ask if they could do that at 7 o'clock on that Monday morning committee meeting. So that's what I had.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you.
What new trees are you going to put in, Dave?
Well, I was doing some research on it, and I don't know for sure yet. I do like the ginkgo trees. Those are well thought of. I actually even thought of a cottonwood, which is our state tree that can be a messy tree, but, I mean, we would get a lot of years out of a good old cottonwood. Oak, the anything but a pin oak, you know, the good oak or red oaks, things like that. So I just started kind of going through them to see which ones they recommend most for this area. And actually, I found out they said Some of them are staying away from red maples since those are being so overplanted now. They kind of fear that that might be one that'll be on the list to have too many, and if something comes through, it'd wipe them out. So
ginkgo grows pretty quick, doesn't it?
They're medium grower. I'd really like to see some good quality trees in here.
Have you dealt with statewide arboretum on that?
I have not.
Dean Goldbrook could probably help you and get trees even.
Okay.
On that, so.
I will talk to Dean. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave. Equalization, we had a brief equalization meeting before the meeting, before this meeting. Nothing really to say there. Sounds like Turk is looking into the going through the assessor's office, doing an audit there, or will be. So we'll see how that all goes. Finance and insurance, Mr. Juergens.
Large ticket items. Washington County Sheriff. Boarding inmates, $13,500. Ace Irrigation Manufacturing Culverts, $64,515.70. Beatrice Concrete, Sand and Gravel, Rock and Gravel, $110,177.43. Rock On Incorporated, Hauling Gravel Township Material, $24,013.86. And Volkscapes, 2024 Culvert Projects, payment certificate number 5 for $336,630.43.
We'll also have discussions. Our budget is obviously getting close to being approved or disapproved. We'll have that on the agenda later on for any final changes prior to board approval.
Yeah, I want to question Votescapes. Go ahead.
Do you want to...
Didn't we take that down to 275?
Yes.
Okay, that was my question.
Yes, that was approved to take down to 275. I think we held roughly 50...
So the 336 is not paid? That is just...
That was the claim... I'm sorry, that was the claim submitted. We took that back to 275.
Until final completion.
Until final completion due to the fact that they're getting close to their penalty. We might not have enough in retainage, so we just held a little bit more until we know where their final completion is. Absolutely.
So.
Nope. Correct.
Okay. On finance, I want to touch a little something. The state auditor sent. I saw a deal where they were going after Wayne County for rebates, and we probably don't buy at Menards. But in the article, it talked about that maybe our policy, we need to look at a little bit on how expenditures are, because, correct me, Rick, I know you read it too, but the employees went to Menards, but then they kept the rebates themselves.
Used them individually then.
But it was so fine, as there was candy on some of the tickets that, and he went after Wayne County. So it just might be a good time to touch up on our policy procedures when it comes to outside buying.
I don't know what our actual policy is. We do look through every receipt. We require a receipt to be turned in, and we look at every individual purchase. We also have them use county credit cards, county accounts, instead of their own credit cards whenever possible, just because it may be a rewards card, and that could be seen as they're getting something for nothing on a rewards card. It does happen, but the...
People are people.
The intention is to not use that. I mean, it doesn't come up very often, but there was a time in the past where people were charging to themselves. One employee thinks somebody else is getting something that's not fair, or they're benefiting from buying for the county. So, I mean, that's avoided at all costs.
It's an awareness. It's something that probably needs touched on periodically, so...
Yeah, when you see something like this happen, it's a good opportunity for us to kind of review and see if all of our policies and procedures the way they should be, because we don't want that to happen in Gage County.
Absolutely not. Nope, that's a good point. That would be part of our handbook discussion, too, as we're doing handbook touch-ups. But no, that's the intent is definitely in the right place already with what we're doing, but it might not hurt to look to see what our actual written policy
is. Just an awareness.
Anything else for finance and insurance? Human resources, employee relations. We will have a brief closed session at the end of the meeting to talk about some personnel, two different items. One a personnel item, one a negotiations item. Law enforcement, emergency management. Mr. Lytle.
Lisa, you got anything? We got nothing.
That is a really brief law enforcement.
That's not normal, is it? Gus is usually up here asking for money, so.
He's almost wounded right now. Road and Bridge, Mr. Juergens.
Ms. Zachary.
The dirt crew is working on North 30 Elm. They removed bridge place tubes, and they're placing additional tubes. Then they're going to be moving on to the tubes on the blacktop. Vogscapes, the structures are poured. The paving is poured. Three structures are done. We're waiting to reopen, but since there were some people moving road closed signs and driving over the road before it met strength, there were three broken panels now on another section. So once we reopen these, we're going to have to close and replace those. So we will be closed again. So I'd like to encourage the public to stop moving those road closed signs. They are there for a reason till we hit strength so that we have a longer investment, a better investment long term.
Mr. Kunkey can probably
brief on this real quick.
Yeah.
I have made it a mission for the last couple weeks to visit the site every single day, and every single day I am putting barricades back. So it,
how's
it
your
is,
camera use?
It's not going very well. It's not. I don't know if the batteries went dead, but I did do some research over the weekend, and I found something that I want to touch base with you guys today, if we could.
I think we need to do something because this this is bad.
But I
because I'm not a concrete expert, Eric. But when these panels like. There's more than those three panels in that section of pour, right?
Oh, yeah.
Those three just happened to be broke. But we also know because those broke, theoretically, the other ones would also be at least stressed or somewhat damaged and the rest of that because they were all driven over to get across.
Mark, what kind of breaks are they?
They're two are longitudinal and one's transverse.
So these could also be from the new garbage cement we're forced to buy, though, too. They're
possibly. I mean, it, for the length of what those panels are, it could have been roughly a truckload. It came to that. It could have been a lighter mix. So water-cement ratio could have been a little lighter, more water placed.
It's tough. Being that he's
it's tough.
Putting barricades back up every day says that we're having a problem there, too.
But and it's not just like there's just one barricade on 1 mile section. There's a single barricade at the end of the mile that says road closed. Then it's a double barricade, another double barricade. And at the other end of the mile, it's a triple barricade.
And I know there's a lot of discontent with that contractor because they've taken so long. It may be partially because of that. The public are tired of waiting for this project to get done. But that'll be an additional cost they incur as well, tearing these panels out and putting them back. But you're right, Ms. Axby. A lot of it could be avoided, or at least we wouldn't have to worry what else.
The other thing that worries me on this is, you know, these barricades have been there for quite some time, but when my guys do put barricades up to close a road for that they're working on in a mile section at the end of the day, there are still people driving through these barricades and then calling supervisors stating that there was no signage up when there was. So it's safety is the biggest concern that I do have for my guys.
Driving into a closed area road is very dangerous too. You don't know when there's going to be a piece of road out. We just had a pickup drive through barricades last year and drop off into a ravine where a bridge was being replaced. Yep.
Well, then if they drive through, leave those road closed signs off to the side of the road, the next person that comes through that may not live here may not know. And if there is a serious hazard, that just leaves them.
And some of the camera pictures that I did get were out of county plates. on some of those that I did get. So,
how long would the fix take?
It's probably tear out a half day, maybe pour that day, repour the next day. Then it's just going to be the waiting game for concrete to cure then.
So the way this new cement sets, instead of opening at 7 days, it may be 14 or
21
or 20 or...
So you lost another month almost.
I did ask concrete to see if the concrete was good. Maybe it was a bad batch or whatever. And they said they test that concrete in that broken panel to make sure that the concrete met strength. So
on 1236, the project 1236, we did, yes.
Yeah, so I wouldn't think that it would be a bad batch of concrete in that situation, that it would be more likely.
I'm sorry, and when I say trash cement, it's the cement itself that's gone downhill. The way they mix it, it's now a blended cement with so many different additives. We don't have cement anymore. It's
fillers, a lot of fillers.
A lot of, yeah, including rock powder, which has caused all kinds of problems the last 2-3 years. It's a slower set. It sets much slower.
Thank you.
We discussed Saline County, the bridges are getting bid out, and that was for Bridge Match 7. We're going to start working on Bridge Match 9 as soon as the state approves the designs. Then we just found out yesterday that they opened up Bridge Match Round 10, so I'm going to start working on that application maybe today. We discussed Sargent. There's currently road counters out there on that road. We're looking at building that up, or if they really want it paved, maybe a paving district. That's all I've got.
I did talk to Mark about leaving the traffic counters out longer on Sargent as well. I was told that it's the lowest traffic count in the last 10 years there. So I said we'll leave them out a little bit longer and we'll see what it shows.
It's not Road and Bridge, but before I forget, Claytonia was one of the ones selected or made it through appropriations for their fire hall application. I needed to have a support letter on today's agenda. It would be all right with you guys if I sent a support letter for their application for additional funding through the state.
I would think that there's no downside to it.
It'd just be for through CBMP grants, a community block grant, to get additional funds for their fire hall.
Anything else for Road and Bridge? Up next, we have a declaration on September 11, 2025, as Big Give Day, Gage Day in Gage County. Would you gentlemen like to come up and speak on this?
Good morning, everyone, Mr. Chairman and fellow supervisors. Don Petrosky, president of the Gage County Foundation, along with me as a board member, Mr. Greg Leach, that's coming along to assist. But we're here today to, as Eric said, Big Give Gage is coming up 8 days away. 8 days away for the one-day giving for what we have done. This will be our seventh year. In the past 6 years, we have raised just a little over $2 million for nonprofit agencies in Gage County. And when I emphasize Gage County, I am so proud of this county and of how it bonds together on that one day of all the giving that we receive for all the number of different agencies. We started out 7 years ago with 42 agencies, and today we're up to 82 that will be on the list that you can get on and gobiggivegage.org, I believe. But anyway, just pleased, and for the proclamation that you're making for that day, for that support, utilizes and solidifies what Gage County is all about. We are a grassroots community, and I've encouraged over the past number of years that for the day of giving that People in Gage County, contact your family members, contact your friends, friends contact friends, and we need numbers. Our goal this year is 500,000, 500 reasons why to give on that day, and very comfortable about where how we're proceeding on this. Last year we came up about $480,000, and what a joy that was that evening when we cracked the $400,000 mark. I think of the joy and the jubilation that Nebraska volleyball has and Nebraska football has. Well, the jubilation on that day when we had $400,000 showing up on the board, the roar in that building was just really memorable. And I was one of them that let out the big wahoo and yahoo, and this is a hoot. And it really is. It's fun, but emphasis is we're helping nonprofits. And they're the backbone of what keeps us all going. Their efforts and what they do is vital to what residents in this community need. So I encourage people to go out, and as again, on September 11th, we will be at the Vintage Venue at 7 in the morning, and we'll go the whole day so you can walk in and give your donations. The learning curve is over. The first 2 years we had to explain to everybody how this all will be processed, and now when individuals come in to give, they have their list all filled out, they have their check presented, and then we just have to enter that information. But it keeps growing and growing, and we're pleased as a Dickens that we can do this and proud to be in the position as president of this foundation, because we do represent the whole county. We have representation from Adams. We have representation from Cortland, Odell, Wymore, Blue Springs. Our board is countywide, and so our goal is to do what's best for our county and try to improve our county. And this is one project that we do, Big Give Gage, and again, that will be coming up on September 11th. So, Mr. Chairman, I thank you for the recognition. Thank you for the board for supporting that recognition, because it benefits all of us. So let's just have a big give and contact everyone and remember to donate on Big Give Gage Day. Thank you.
Clay wants to keep it short. So.
Yeah, well, okay. That he did.
I was going to bring a hat and pass it around, but I forgot my hat.
Don, there is a social media option as well.
Yes, there is. And, yeah, we're on Facebook, and Dee Annevelson is our director for the foundation. She was unable to be here this morning because she is doing a program with some nonprofits on the radio network this morning. So she's doing that. She's got her hands full, but she's doing a wonderful job for us. So, yeah, or you can contact Dee, get on Facebook, we're on the website too, gagecounty.org, gagecountyfoundation.org. So, yeah, there's ways to get in touch with us. And if you have any questions, please do so. We're here to see what we can do for the county.
In this environment, too, where there's budget cuts everywhere and the nonprofits are asking for additional dollars, their costs are higher.
That's correct.
The municipalities are bringing in less money, hopefully, so there's less money going out. This is a great place where if you're wanting to support some of these organizations, you can do it directly, and it'll get there a lot faster than if it goes through a municipality.
That brings up a point, Eric. I want to emphasize that all money received that day to that specific organization on October 14th is when we present the checks. The money they receive on that day is the amount of what the check they will receive. Our foundation, working along with the Beatrice Hospital Foundation, we budget $20,000 for the capital expense, the overhead expense. We do the advertising, we do all the promotional material. We do not charge any of the organizations anything back to help pay for the event. We do that on our own so that every money that we receive goes to those organizations. Sponsorships are available to where that money goes into a bucket and then at the end is distributed out through all the 82 agencies. So if you want to be a sponsor, contact us. That would be great. You can make a sponsorship donation, and that will cover the 82 agencies. So appreciate the opportunity to talk, and that is one project that we, as a foundation, dearly love and support.
With that, it's my pleasure to sign the proclamation proclaiming Thursday, September 11th, 2025, as Big Give Gage Day, whereas Big Give Gage was established as a local day of giving, and whereas the Gage County Foundation has established Big Give Gage in a celebration of philanthropy and volunteerism where people give whatever is meaningful to them, and whereas Big Give Gage is a day where citizens work together to share commitments, rally for causes, build a stronger community, and think about other people, and whereas it is fitting and proper during Big Give Gage and on every day to recognize the tremendous impact of our philanthropy, volunteerism, and community service in Gage County. Now, therefore, we, the Gage County Board of Supervisors, do hereby proclaim September 11, 2025, to be Big Give Gage Day in Gage County and urge all citizens of Gage County to reorganize the tradition of philanthropy as it continues to improve and enhance the lives on all by promoting the common good.
Very good. Thank you very much.
Thank you both.
Appreciate it.
You'll have to remember your hat next year.
Yeah, I was going to bring it too, and I forgot.
Ten cup will work too.
I'm not used to getting up early.
Can I pick up the presentation, or we want to have that posted during the week or the 11th that we have the proclamation.
Chief. How you doing?
The light is just shining over here, the reflection off here.
That's my intelligence.
Sunglasses.
Do you want to do that again and then face this way?
Too quick.
We got to get some face time.
Get you in the middle.
Yeah, we get you in the middle.
There you go.
Put a number under it.
Thank you, everybody.
Now you can sell it.
No, yeah.
Up next, discuss, approve, or disapprove putting a temporary hold on visitor improvement grants. This spurs from Friday's discussion at committee meetings without a tourism director.
So we can get discussion started. I'm going to make a motion to approve putting a temporary hold on all new applications on the tourism grant until we have tourism director and a process in place.
Motion by Adams.
Second.
Second by Haxby. Mr. Adams, go ahead.
Well, it just, there seems to be some confusion. At some point, we've got to get off center and create a tourism director wherever we go, one way or the other. The nebulism, it's very nebulous right now of the chamber, where they're at with the Engage and all this. There's just a lot of uncertainty, and it's not fair to these organizations to apply for something without the proper channels to go through. And it's going to be upon us to whether we make a temporary tourism director here, the chamber. I mean, I don't know how much of that chamber discussion I have with the Engage talking about. I don't know where we're at on that. So I just think for a temporary time being, we don't take any new applications. until we have that all worked out, and that may prompt us to speed up the process of what we do.
Friday, there was also discussion, and we wanted to talk to you about this, Mr. Lytle. There was some discussion on if there was a limit on $25,000 grants in how things were going through, and there was a $50,000 application. I didn't know. I thought maybe you would have the information on that. We haven't looked without, I guess Dakota was the last one there.
Yeah. As far as I know, there was always kind of a unwritten rule that there was kind of a limit, and then that, as the years have gone, that's grown, you know, with inflation, whatever. I don't, you know, as some of the projects have grown in size, some of those dollar amounts have grown as to what they've, because I believe they've given a couple of $40,000 ones, and you know, there's been some bigger ones we've approved. So
initially it was 25 is the, like you said, the line.
Yeah.
But as time changes, that can float too. So
yeah, it's kind of grown, and it's, you know, what the committee discusses is, you know, how there's usually conversation about how the money's being leveraged. You know, how many dollars are coming in from a project. You know, if they're giving 40 or 50 thousand, what's the dollar amount that's being spent, you know, outside of that? You know, it's not a, you know, we're going to give $50,000 to a $70,000 project. It's, you know, here's 40 or 50 to a $1 million project or a $500,000 project or whatever. So that's, you know, usually there's conversation. It's not a willy-nilly, here's 50 for you, here's 50 for you, here's 50 for you type deal. So I think the one that they approved or sent to us here recently, the $50,000 one, would be the highest that they've approved. Like I said, I believe there's been a couple 40s. But I don't believe there's anything written that says that they cannot. So, is the chamber still operating with an interim director?
We don't know.
Well, I think all volunteers right now, from what I understand.
So there's no interim director then?
As of last week when I was at that deal at SCC, somebody was there, introduced themselves as the interim.
Yeah.
Was it Aaron Chadwick?
That sounds right.
Because Aaron had been working there.
As far as I knew, Aaron was.
At some point in time. I didn't know if she still was or not.
Yeah. So
I think the board itself is, you know, assuming some of the day-to-day operations supervision.
Because the staff is all gone now, is that correct?
That's what they stated was going to happen, so.
Contacting me.
So there's no there's no tourism director since Dakota, is that right?
Correct.
Right. So the last meeting, Lorene Riedesill, directed it. There was no tourism director, but with the interim chamber director acting as that role, and then the board doing the normal operations. So it's definitely not where we want to be, but I guess I understand the conversation, and I don't disagree, Rex, with the idea of maybe this pushes along, but I know this board well enough to know that there's no speedy process. There's a lot of good places that through the visitors committee that we've spent money and helped different things a lot in, you know, in your area. You've seen a bunch of it. I don't disagree with going your way, but I also don't want to see good projects get held up because we get in the way. So
I don't know if it's us as much as the process of other things taking place.
I understand that, but I mean,
you know,
if we pull back and say, well, we're gonna do this, you know, with the idea that this is gonna speed process along, I don't know that it sounds good, but I don't know that it's gonna speed any processes.
I don't know if it will either.
Yeah.
What kind of temporary do you have in mind?
Well, I'm hoping everything starts to come together on the clarity of Engage, the merger that they're looking at, and if it is, if it isn't,
Would you want to put a time frame where we readdress it if it would pass? So it's not just.
Temporary is yes. I think, in my opinion, temporary is if something changes next meeting, we bring it back to full status. I think it just.
So you're not saying like a year hold or six.
No. I'm talking until an organizational structure is in place to.
Would you be okay with holding off for 2 weeks on this? Let me reach out to Erin Chadwick and talk to her and see what the plans are. Because in the past, when there's been no tourism director, the chamber director fills that role until we hire it.
I may be wrong. Were they not asked if they wanted to come talk to our body?
Chamber?
Yeah.
I don't know that the chamber was. We asked the merger group. I don't know that there's not a chamber to ask per se now, other than the board of directors.
My 2 cents in. I think Gary, I understand the concern out there, but give them a chance to straighten up their house, because I don't think. And again, I'm not privy to all the what happened here, but it can happen anywhere. If you're not required to be in attendance, you got a lot of volunteers too that are helping. And I, that merger thing, I think, and that's got everybody a little up in the air, but that's sitting back here in my look at. They got a long way to go to get that.
They got a long way to go.
And again, I have no problem with people coming up with ideas to take a look at improving things, changing things, but this thing kind of fell apart on top of everything else that they're talking about with that merger. So, if you're sitting on that board of directors at the chamber right now, I can't.
Word hostile takeover has been used in everything, and whether it is or isn't, it's just there needs to be some clarity. If the auditor is going after us and giving funds to certain things, if we're giving funds to a group that is not even maybe, it's all volunteer.
Well, you can make the same argument about state, too.
We are technically by statute, if I understand correctly, required in order to collect tourism dollars, we're required to have a tourism director. So that's not an option. That's something we're statutorily required.
Can we make Emily our tourism director temporarily? I like the feel of that. That really did me good.
We could. Right now we are contractually obligated to the chamber as well to manage that position. That position currently doesn't exist. We don't have to take a formal action on this. If you guys want to put a hold on this, even temporarily, we can just not put these on the agenda and table it and wait.
That sends a language. That sends a language out there. Well, that sends a message out. Come on,
it needs to address that you cannot leave people expecting things to flow fluidly, and they are not.
I think they've also been reaching out, though, on our end. What they're wanting to know what we want too. At the same time, I don't necessarily see an issue putting like a temporary hold. I mean, even if we put a hold on it today, Gary can talk to them over the next 2 weeks. We can address it at the next meeting. It doesn't hurt anything.
Nothing can happen between now and the next meeting. Regardless,
there isn't going to be any way.
I think some of this clarity might be taken care of with the next item.
I hope is the ideas.
Yeah, you're probably right.
And we'll get to that in just a second.
They don't have anything to do with tourism.
We do have a. Well.
This meeting will.
Yeah, they will.
We have a motion by Adams, second by Haxby. Additional discussion on this item, placing a temporary hold with no set time limit. It would just hold the applications from being approved right now, which, I mean, in some ways it could be good or bad. If it stops a project, it's bad. It could also be bad if one comes up and people aren't comfortable with it and they get voted down, then.
We've got a contract with the chamber, right?
MOU.
What have they done to breach that contract?
Not have a tourism director. That our only contract with them is to have one.
It has to stop the flow coming. And I think that's what Rex brings up is, has the process been so disrupted they can't fulfill their contract? That's what we call anticipatory breach in the area of law. You don't want to mess with that. and I'm just looking at this strictly from a legal. I think I don't have any problem with you saying we need to move people. We can't wait because that money's going to keep coming in from our lodging tax.
We want it used for
the benefit it needs.
We don't have anything with the chamber that says we'll give out grants, so I don't believe there's a.
The statute basically dictates how we run this thing.
Statute defines it.
Yeah. I think I heard Rex volunteer himself as the tourism director, so he could probably take that over.
Why do I feel like we're going to have a whole bunch of signs around that say, welcome to the Springs?
With blue lights.
So, Roger, let me ask you this. As the executive director at the chamber, when they have the opening as the visitors director, as the interim, they're able to cover that role, are they not?
Yeah.
So they have a tourism director currently.
Was Erin at your tourism committee meeting?
She was not. She had another meeting she had to go to that day, she had an appointment or something. She was not able to be there. But generally she is. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell you the board is a good board. They do a good job. They're very thorough. I don't feel like they're not doing their job. So while I agree that there needs to be a tourism director hired, I don't feel they're not doing their job of what they're put out there to do. Okay, you know, I know that there's some processes here that maybe aren't completely getting handled, and I think that's probably what we need to look at more so than the group that's doing the advising to us, because the board, the visitors tourism board, is doing their jobs. They do a good job. And if Erin is the acting director and she's acting tourism director in that case.
See, that clarity may not have been shared at the last meeting I was at.
Do we do any follow-up on projects that we've already granted funding for?
Like, we don't give funds until they've completed the project, and then we...
Right, but like completed, are they continuing using it, or is this something where they put it in... used it for a little bit, they completed it, we gave them funds, and then now it's gone, they're not using it at all. Like, do we follow up to make sure these things are, like...
Successful?
Like, successful, yes.
No.
Yes and no. Well, some of that criteria is in the final app.
Like, I'm going to use the... Gage County Historical Society put up a sign down by the river. They completed the project, we give them the money... We don't follow up to see, are they maintaining the sign? Is it working? Has it made any impact? We don't do a follow-up. If someone builds a park and we give some money to it, we don't check to see, are they maintaining it? Is that what you're asking?
More like I know, so like the cemetery, you know, is it still working? Is it something that's providing good tourism to our community?
So,
like the Food for Hope.
We've never given money to that yet.
Food for Hope, we haven't yet?
The genealogy
of the cemeteries, they never completed that yet.
The Food for Hope, or there's a shuffleboard. I know they put that up. Is that still...
Shuffleboard was built, and it didn't work, and they pulled part of it back out. They're now looking at what to do. The contractor that tore the building down didn't compact the grade. So there's some settling issues there.
So that they tore it, so we funded it and they tore it out?
It's still there. It needs repaired. So, I mean, do we follow up? I mean, inadvertently, yes. We try to keep an eye on what's going on in the county, but that's not part of what we do as far as...
Just our board doesn't... go ahead, Rex.
I was just going to say, if there's an application out right now, 2 weeks isn't going to kill it. You know, to maybe get some clarity, a couple weeks to try to set some things in motion. I don't know what grants are out there that they're applying for or anything.
It's gonna be.
If there's any new ones there.
I don't think there's anything there currently.
Okay, this is a perfect time for it if there's nothing hanging there. To just say we're not going to accept any until we know.
County pulls money.
We put a time frame.
Two in here, Don.
The one that's currently potentially out there, they won't be doing anything until into October.
Well, the visitors committee has approved everything they had on their table. They don't have anything sitting there waiting to be approved.
Do you know how many there are?
So it's a good time for it, then.
Do you know how many there are? Like one, two, three?
One or two.
Okay, so just a couple, not like a lot of projects.
Yeah.
So, I mean, now's a good time if there's nothing sitting there.
But it's also a good time to just ask questions and not have to do this.
Well, I think Rob here will make sure there's some questions answered. So.
Well, and I think Councilor made a good point. This would be something we could table. There's nothing up today. We are discussing it. Once we throw it on the table, it doesn't go away, though it stays there. So just keep in mind that it's still there. We do have a motion.
I'm willing to withdraw my motion. I wanted the discussion of it. So,
I think if you just table it, that leaves it up there on the front page.
Okay.
I would just
modify my motion to table this.
Well, just look. You we got a motion and a second.
Do we need
somebody can table it, and you only need one to table it.
Yeah, I motion we table it.
Okay.
And then that just lays it there, or do we need a second
vote? Nope, that just lays
you
it there.
You have to have a second and a vote for a table.
Yeah, you got to vote on it. But what I'm saying is, then I think some way you want to communicate this to the chamber.
We have a motion. We have a motion by Adams, second by Haxby to approve.
Should be.
We have a motion by Lytle to table.
You have to deal with the first motion and second before you do this.
Well, they better be here and talk.
You can't. This is on. No, this is on top of that first motion. So we have a motion to table. So we need a second and a vote to table that. Otherwise, it goes back to the original.
You're voting on the table motion, but you don't have a second, yeah?
We have a motion by Lytle to table.
Get a second. Please. I'm sorry.
Second by Juergens.
Okay.
Discussion on tabling. So we have a motion by Adams, second by Haxby to approve this. Motion by Lytle, second by Juergens to table this discussion for, do you want to put a time limit on it? Or
2 weeks.
To table for 2 weeks. Yeah. Is that fine with you, Mr. Juergens?
Well, that forces him.
Any additional discussion?
And again, not to be.
If not, you will be voting on the motion to table this for 2 weeks now. Vote for yes, tables it for 2 weeks. Vote for no, we go back to the original motion. Questions, concerns, comments, please vote. 7 in favor. This will be tabled for 2 weeks.
I'll reach out to the chamber.
That'd be great. We'll have some more discussion, too, very quickly, I have a feeling. Next item on the agenda, discuss, approve, or disapprove setting a meeting with the City of Beatrice. This is something I asked for on Friday at committee meetings. What I would propose would be a delegation from the county going to a city council meeting, sitting before them in open or closed session and having a discussion specifically about the merger. I wanted permission from the board first or direction from the board. That way the board and the city council are on the same page. It'd be a delegation from here, so we wouldn't need to have an open meeting there. It'd be 3 members. My thought process was we get an opinion from the entire city council then, so we know where everyone's at least that day. Everyone's opinions can change, you know, theirs, ours, but at least we have a total council and mayor that we're visiting with at once, out of fairness to them and us, so that we can have some discussion and then we can bring that back to the board after meeting with the council.
I think that's a great idea.
And I talked to Mr. Claybaugh about that this morning as well.
I like the idea, Roger, legally. How is that? I mean, we obviously can't have a quorum that goes along unless we're publishing a meeting.
No. And again, I think the way the chairman explained that, you're there visibly with some representation to listen and have some exchange. Any action would come back to this body after you discuss it and
so you could
before you
have
take
multiple,
any formal action. Yeah,
you can have multiple as long as no action.
That's right. That's correct. You know, that's not a problem. Like you don't have a quorum there. Because then you got to announce it, have a public meeting, the whole nine yards.
Okay, that's what I was trying to clarify. No quorum.
We've run into that once in a while.
That was my thought. Just as we talked Friday, it's like if we just had a delegation go representing us, communicating back and forth, of course any action would come back to the board.
That way the public knows it too in the city.
As we're negotiating through this, though, there has to be some frank talks between the two bodies. I think there's one on both sides. The mayor and I have talked multiple times on this. We want to work together with the city. The city wants to work together with the county. We just need to figure out where everything stands, and that way we can make intelligent moves, I guess.
My second question.
Do you want me to send him a notice?
No.
My second question that I would have is that
no.
If we're looking at this as negotiations, would we, while we would prefer it to be an open conversation in front of the public, I think that's what you would prefer, is what I'm hearing, Eric.
Either way, it may be something we have to do in closed sessions.
That's my question. If it's part of negotiations, does it have to be, do we need to have that in closed session then?
Well, again, negotiations to me is something that is, we've identified the topic and we're moving towards a common ground. This one, I think you're doing some gathering of information, what's going on, and where's the two money players, the city and the county. We're a little concerned here. We're sitting on the outside looking in. And maybe there's nothing to worry about.
My thought.
But we don't know that, and that causes everybody some concern.
Right. So it's not truly negotiations. It's more conversation.
I think it's just sharing information and concerns.
My thought would be we ask for an audience with the city council, knowing what the topic is, and being that I would say we do it at their council meeting. My thought would be we leave it up to the mayor to decide, first, if he'll have audience with us, second, if he wants it in closed or open session. It's their meeting, so I would think...
They can invite the representatives to the closed meeting if they choose to do that. But, you know, and then talk to them ahead of time so they can schedule a closed session if they think that's the best way to go.
So if this would pass, I'd call the mayor, say, hey, here's what we would like to do. Would you entertain this? And I'm sure he will. We'll, that way we can sit in front of the body as a whole. It's just we're going to get a lot further, a lot faster going directly. The mayor and I visit back and forth, but I think we need the body there also so that everyone's on the same page.
I think we've been spinning our wheels for quite a while, and if we get in front of each other, I think you can get this done in a short amount of time. So this would be really good.
With that, I would ask for a motion to approve setting a meeting with the City of Beatrice. And I would add to that with either setting a delegation today or leaving that. Actually, if someone wants to make a motion to approve that, they could set a delegation also. Otherwise, I could name folks to go.
So move.
Second.
Sounds like Rick doesn't want to pick the people.
Motion by Claybaugh, second by
Adams.
Do you want to name a delegation, or do you want me to choose that?
You. You get paid the big bucks.
Motion to approve setting a meeting with the City of Beatrice and having Chairman send a delegation of three.
Whoever you send, I'd like to make sure Rex is involved in that, just because he's been kind of leading that charge to begin with. So Rex and two others would be my suggestion.
Eric's got to be there, too. He's been involved in it, too.
I would enjoy not being there.
I know you would enjoy it. So would I.
Additional discussion on this. I would say off the cuff, I would lean towards maybe Rex, Rick, and myself to go to that, unless anyone else would like to. I'd be very happy to give my seat up to another member.
I'd love to do it, but I think those three are probably the appropriate ones at this time.
I think Terry was jumping for that place.
Mr. Jergens and Mr. Dorn have an intimate relationship through Boswell at the city.
Yeah. How are you correlating that with this meeting?
Just the relationship.
When do they have kids?
Monday. Motion by Claybaugh, second by Adams, to set a delegation of three to go to talk to the city council. First of all, any more comment, question, concern, input? If not, please vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries. With that, what we'll do, I'll talk to them. You want to recess? We'll take a 10-minute recess here at 9:45. Before we do, 5-minute, I'm sorry, 5-minute recess at 9:45. Before we do, what I'll do is I'll reach out to the mayor, try to set up that meeting.
First and third Mondays, right?
First, third, and fifth. Or first, third, and last, I'm sorry. If they'll entertain that, we'll get that set up and see if it works with your schedules. We'll make sure it's going to work. If it works, I'll start with the mayor and see what he says.
Yeah, he may say no. So
I don't think so. I think the mayor is going to be very open to working with us. We're really working hard to try to open those lines of communication, and it's gone well. The city of Beatrice and Gage County work back and forth on a lot of different things, and we're going to continue working back and forth. We just want to build on that relationship. We'll recess for 5 minutes at 9:46. We will go back in open session at 9:53 on the clock. The next order of business is discussion on the fiscal year 25-26 county budget. At this time, our increase as a county is at 2.47. This allows a remainder of $364,592.35. This is down from our number on Friday at committee meetings.
Here's what our
tax asking last year was $11,217,823. This year we're setting at $11,495,347.50. We gave an additional $60,000 to extension as of Friday. Their budget last year was 74. This year, going forward, we're sitting at 128 even. The question I have for you guys directly now would be, Beatrice, Chief Murphy asked about funding the victim assistance program to a dollar amount of $21,000.
$20,000.
I told them we would try to do that, holding all outside agencies at the same dollar amount. They would be at $7,000. We wouldn't increase the budget by that. We would pull it out of something else and move it into that line item if we were going to do that. If we fund it, they'll keep the same staff and go forward as is. If we don't, they'll probably get rid of that person there. The victim assistance is required for us, not for the city. So it's a city employee, but if we don't meet that funding, they'll probably get rid of that person, which then it falls on Roger's office, if I understand it correctly. I said that's, since we kept the other ones the same, I'm not going to make that decision. That's up to you guys.
Roger, can you handle it?
I'm sorry?
I'm real good with victims.
You're a victim?
It's currently at 7. If we want to move that to 20, that is, like I say, I said I'm not going to make that decision. That's up to the board.
But she does more than just the victim's rights officer, my understanding.
I don't know what she does. That's where you work with them.
Yeah.
I mean,
in theory,
we don't know.
Well, again, like the previous person, she took all the pictures, all the crime scenes, yada yada yada, and had additional duties as a police officer.
And this person's not a police officer.
You got
this would be. Mm-hmm. But that person works with the victims. You know what they do. We don't. It's just we have to decide if we're going to budget to keep that person or if we're not. And it's. I'm not going to steer you guys one way or another. We just need an answer.
So the $7,000 would keep her?
No, that's what we gave last year. Talking to Chief Murphy and Toby and the administrator, that's what they would want from the county. Yeah, we don't know. They may or may not. It sounded like they would. It sounded like probably not. We didn't increase it the last time, and they got rid of that other person because they had two.
She was part-time.
Oh, is that what it was? So they got rid of the part-time person, and then they've lost additional funding now from the. Does it come from the Crime Commission?
Yeah, the grants, yeah. So, see, this was a federal grant that got started in the first place. That's why the city had it.
Like I say, it makes me no difference, but we held everyone at the same. If you want to change that, or if you don't want to change it, it's today's the day, though.
Well, let me do this. I mean, because I cut a couple other things out that I might be able to combine now.
So you think you might be able to take that out of yours? I mean, that would make it really easy. I'm just saying if we're going to budget for it.
I'm going to be like Gus next year, and I'm not going to be here, so you guys figure out how you're going to give me money. Just, you know, I'm never hiding the ball from you.
No, but I mean, if you think you've got room, that makes it really easy, but well, otherwise we need the budget for it.
You see, we're working with the diversion thing, and I've been working with those numbers, and I think we finally didn't have to put a bunch in for that we thought we were going to have to.
Well, did you see your sheets? Because that's where it is problem? Right now. And I don't have the option to change.
Well, what I'm saying is this,
I just need a yay or nay, though.
And have her.
Roger, do you have a recommendation for us?
I mean, you can.
I could hear all what you were saying.
So long
well, we're going to have to spend it when we're
here.
Say what you want to
say.
Shut up.
This gives me another option.
Point across. 2 minutes.
As far
okay,
as
very easily.
You handle it in your
position,
office.
If Don's okay, I'll do some
jobs.
Can't disagree with
like
you.
Number five.
Penciling in on another deal that may still save us some money.
We just need to know though today because the budget will be advertised and then it's locked in.
Okay, today.
Yeah,
okay.
Today's like our
like drop dead because I have to get this advertised and I only have so much time
okay,
to do it.
Let
and
me,
if the changes are overall asking, then we also I have to know whether we end up going to the joint public hearing.
How about we just say that we're gonna look at trying to make this
work.
Inside of the tax asking that we have currently.
We can do that. It's just we'll just move some stuff and make. If you want to do that, we'll budget for it. Right now it's not budgeted for. Do you want us to put money in for that? It's a relationship we've had with the city. And
I think that the victims assistance role down in the police station has been a really good piece of what they have down there over the last however many years. I think McGurry was the first one, and she did a lot of good down there. I do think it's an important piece of what's available to victims.
Basically, statutorily, we have to have
one. We have to.
Yeah. Now, I don't know how they don't have to because they also do criminal work. Mm-hmm. So, but I don't. Let me check on that because I think we may be playing a little poker game here.
But this would still be not paying for it. This would be paying for a portion of it.
Yeah.
At 20. I did indicate to the chief and administrator, I would bring this up and I would try to maintain it just because it's another relationship we have between city and county. That's why I said I won't make that call. That is up to you guys.
Did I do that?
Sure? Well, the other option you have right now it's listed as a line in the miscellaneous general. If you decide that you want to fund the extra dollars, the line can go negative. I've got, you know, it'll just come out of someplace else.
But I want a decision.
You want it to actually
I just
show
want it from the board deciding if we are or not. We can make it work. It's just right. I don't want to do that like – I don't want to go that route. I want a decision from the board. We are or we aren't, so we can tell them.
I thought we had this figured out at one point already.
Victim assistance?
Yeah.
We did. We had increased it, but then since we said we were going to hold things at a line, it got reduced back to 7.
I didn't think we increased it. I thought we held it.
What was it?
Yeah, they wanted
7.
They wanted
and that's what it is now.
They wanted additional monies, and I thought we were holding it because we were holding everybody else.
Yeah, but then we didn't. We increased the extension by $60,000. We were. Everybody was held, but now we
haven't. No, we changed the agreement to make that so that we were funding what we agreed to prior.
I respectfully disagree.
Okay, well, we're on agencies, so,
so
that's where we're at right now. And
let's focus on this one right now. Do you guys want to fund that position or not?
I was focusing on this one when I said we already thought we discussed that.
You're funding it, but you need to know if you're funding it at the 7,000 level
I'm
or
sorry,
the 20,000 level.
7
we
or
are
20.
It.
Yeah.
It's just the dollar.
It's at 7 now.
Increase of 13.
They asked for 20 because they lost their grant funding.
I would be okay with that.
I'm okay with that. It's going to be worked within, correct?
It'll be within the dollars that are already budgeted.
I'll 2:00, I'll find an answer.
You guys okay with
that?
No later.
He said
13.
What?
An increase of 13, it takes it to 20. They lost their grant funding. It keeps the victim assistance program as we have with the city, which is an interlocal agreement we have with the city.
I don't know if I can get that off.
It would go to 20. I'm sorry, an increase of 13.
You know how you do that?
Pennies compared to the extension.
I do it.
Increase, but
it's not additional.
I got to go back.
It's within what?
Right. I was just kidding.
When you did the
okay, so we'll plug that in at 20 right now in the budget without a change to the overall asking.
Rex just said 13.
13,000.
13 additional.
13 additional, which would be 20.
Correct.
Oh, additional? I thought you were saying 13
that's,
total.
No, that's what I
was the conversation.
No.
This is a conversation
seven
you had
plus
about this. Why
the chief?
Because we had told him 7.
They submitted 7 originally.
We discussed it, and we had
and that was incorrect. They said because they lost their funding. So I asked Toby, are there additional contracts that are coming up? One of them was the victim assistance. They lost some funding on that. So then they submitted another one, which was also not right. Toby and Chief talked, Chief Murphy. They said, no, this is actually where it is. So then I said, if that's where it is, you need to make another request so we have it on paper. She brought it down, I think, in person.
Roger wants a little
Tobias
more
had her bring it down instead of even sending it over.
We have to do
but
whatever we
that's
do
where
today.
They were going to be.
It
still doesn't hit half. But however they came up with that was where they thought for our portion of it.
They never come up with their end, but then we're willing to just jump up and pay on our end?
Just take it from somebody else without thinking of the problem.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, we already had this discussion. Let's leave it at 7.
Roads.
Well, and I might
be. We're stealing it everywhere.
Okay, we'll leave it there and at 20, and I'll tell the city that we our intention is.
It's not leaving it at 20. If you put it at 20, you're
it's
increasing
it
to 20.
Yeah, increasing it by $13,000 from 7. It would be increasing it from 13 or from 7,000 to 20,000 for the contract with the city. And
how did we get to this? Like, because we had this discussion though. I mean, like, I remember they came in, we discussed it, we were going to leave it at 7.
I suppose the same way as when I told the extension we weren't going to increase their budget.
Oh, my God, Eric. We're past that. Okay.
Again, this was a federal grant, so I think every year it went down. And the city just didn't.
Specifically this time, Emily,
that's where they lost their funding. It's through the federal grant. But, again, that's one of those.
On this one specifically.
Like the school resource officers. not to interrupt
no.
you, but that's the same kind of situation. But those, they said, hey, this is good. So the school, our deputies, they got together and they says, we want to keep these. So the schools are kicking up the money on the cost of the resource officers with the deputies. In fact, you're still talking, they're talking about getting some more. So again, if it's beneficial, we find the money.
Specifically on this one, there's a shortfall. Mr. Juergens.
Where'd you say that money's coming from?
We'll move it internally over there so that we don't take additional.
I thought I heard roads department.
Miscellaneous general. It'll come. Okay. It'll shift in miscellaneous general. There was a short. There was a shortfall in their funding from grant application grants. So, Chief Murphy said they would like to continue this program. The administrator and him talked, and I think they came up with two different dollar amounts, but they landed on this. I don't believe this is half yet. We're required to have someone. I talked to Roger about this. We didn't move it last time. They let the other person go. Like I say, I wasn't going to make this call. It's up to you guys. I'll just tell them either way. But it sounds like we're going to increase it to 20.
Depending on Roger's conversation this afternoon.
And if Roger can do it internally, we'll leave it internally in the counselor's office. If you just let me know either way, and then I'll let the city know.
I will. Otherwise, Don will come see me.
Other items that we had to hit today specifically, is that it? Is that the last one?
What was that?
Is that the last item we need to hit?
Information request might have went to the moment.
Are there any other changes to the budget that you guys want to make?
Well, I could.
I know we're on, it's too late, but just we'll throw it out one more time.
Just know
we made
that if
major
you try
changes.
To make any changes, Don will come after you, just so you know.
Well, we've had some major changes just as of late, so I just, if there's anything else, if not, you will be seeing, this will be advertised as is, increase of 2.47%, or approximately. Approximately $282,000 year to year. That also includes a modest increase in the sheriff's line. I will say, keep in mind, the sheriff has had to cut that back from where they were, and that doesn't take into account the increases that he'll incur after CIR either, or the anticipated. So that alone would be more than our yearly increase. So when we get to that point, I'm just throwing this out there, there's a good chance we'll be either cutting staff or retooling at the sheriff's office. I think what we'll probably have to do, there will probably be cuts at the sheriff's department. There will be cuts at the roads department. We'll have to look internally at cuts here in the courthouse. I mean, we're going to be potentially looking at major cuts next year. This budget was rough. Next year's budget, within the next 2 years, the budget's going to be even rougher yet. And that's not aimed at you, Sheriff, just making everyone aware. I know you are. This is going to be very real that there are.
When you start taking away jobs, it becomes very real to a lot of people.
We've been able to manage a lot of that out by moving things around, but there gets to be a point where it becomes more difficult, and we don't want to decrease our law enforcement services. The sheriff has done his best to maintain services, maintain time, maintain coverage. At some point, there's only so much you can do. We've talked about it for the last 8 years, and he's maintained everything.
Are you full staff now?
Had one go medical, so I'm probably just going to keep that position right there until I know what's going to happen with budget.
But
you know, I was telling Don and Rick that I think it was Lancaster reminded everybody that they had a zero hire replacement policy in place. Probably time we look at that too. And they also had a zero overtime. I mean,
then that was in the paper this morning, and the county attorney up there rescinded that for some reason. I don't remember why they're zero hire. I don't know why. I didn't read that
closely. Attorneys' things don't apply to them. Sorry, Roger. But we will be enforcing zero overtime more strictly. That's going to be something that we don't have a choice on. If there's overtime, it'll have to be pre-approved, special circumstance. But that overtime, I mean, not to pick on the sheriff again, but he's moved people around. There's so much time off. They have to backfill with a lot of overtime. That may affect him directly. The overtime's zero throughout the county anyway, but it hasn't been enforced strictly. It'll be very strictly enforced. The sheriff's office is going to be the one that really has to try to finagle on that. It might be, I don't know. That's a whole other discussion, though.
So praying for no major snowstorms, Terry.
I was going to say, what are we going to do? Work 40 hours and leave the rest of the roads plugged up?
You know, a lot of times, though, that's
sounds
not
like
even
I don't
in,
know how you do it.
That's not an issue a lot of times, though, because
emergency.
It's emergency, plus it doesn't occur often. So it's a very minor one.
Well, this year, though.
With that, right now, unless Mr. Lytle.
So from Friday's conversation, I want you to clarify, because I didn't understand it this way, and you were talking about it on Friday like it was. My understanding was is that if you didn't hit the cap this year, you were saying that you have the ability to go above the cap next year if you stay below it this year.
My
understanding originally was not that. My understanding was is that if you did not take your allowable increase this year, it would not be available to you moving forward, which in essence you could get behind. If you're continually staying below your cap, you're going to get behind by not spending that cap.
There's a benefit to leaving some this year, not taking all of it. It rolls over to next year, if I understand correctly. You don't want to be way below, but we're pretty close.
So
next year.
So clarify that. What is that? What are you saying that we have the ability to do? Because I've seen townships, like in the southern part of the county, that did not spend money and did not spend money, and they were very proud of that, which is good. Mm-hmm. But then when it came to buying a new road grader, they had no available way to buy that road grader without going to an election of the people. And I just do not want to see us get behind, because we are conservative and we are doing the right things, but this cap comes around and gives us a slap upside the back of the head,
Don,
when we're not expecting it.
Can you explain that? I mean, we are close too. We're $300,000 under our maximum tax asking right now. How does that affect us next year when we plug this in?
New for me too. The way I understand it is, this unused, then we will use this authority to begin
next year.
Now, this year they did give us 5.17% increase due to inflation, but right now we have that $300,000. You can increase up and have zero for next year, and go and do your joint public hearing, and which it has no bearing. I mean, you just have to participate in the joint public hearing.
But then we don't have that to start with next year.
Any reserve to start next year. What that's going to look like, because this is the first year that we're doing this.
Which on $12 million, a $300,000 reserve for next year is not much. I mean, there's not much left there.
So when you say reserve, so where does our cap work from next year then? That's what I want to know.
I believe from this $300,000, so it takes into what tax? And then it's the calculations of what we have left over.
So then that would be added in.
Which we may need that next year. If we end up going to CIR, we're going to eat that up.
That was my one concern, is do you have a sinking fund that you put this in so you have it?
It's not a sinking fund. It's the way it works.
It's your authority.
No, I'm saying if we did ask for it now, then we'd have to put it in the sinking fund.
Yeah, you would want to.
Yeah. Right.
As long as it carries over, because if you can't carry what you don't use and under your cap over into the next year's ability to levy, then it's going to force every county to take the entire cap,
right.
Which I don't think that was their intent.
I don't think so.
And like I said,
inadvertently,
that's what would happen.
There's going to be a couple petitions coming around this year that I've heard about them on Quibi, I believe. It is, one of them is going to be a cap for cities and schools. One of them is going to be a cap on equalization increases.
Right.
Those would then go to a vote of the people. Those would then go to a vote of the people if they make it onto the ballot. And that could change things for schools and cities. But this will be advertised.
Yeah.
This will be where we're at. Unless anyone speaks now. Speak now or forever hold your peace.
Well, I mean, it looks like
we don't have the exact date.
Right.
It would bite us. But here's the bad thing, Gary. I'm going to tell you just very flatly. We don't know for sure how some of these work. We know that taking the exceptions bite us on the backside, because that was the way around.
That's good as long as you don't have
those
hiccups.
That's not good from what we know now.
But if you do, you do.
Right, it's zero.
You address it.
Well, the counties that did that.
Hold your breath.
This year,
well, when Myron came in and spoke, he said, you know, there's exceptions or whatever.
He misunderstood those.
Yeah, but then the way I understood it is that he took it, that exemption, and used above the cap for a road emergency or whatever they
call it. You can do that.
You can do that, but then it takes out of next year's cap.
Correct.
So it'll really kick you in about the next year.
We're trying to play the game as best we can within the rules of the
budget. So it's only an emergency this year.
Yeah, but then it takes you out of your cap.
We also have to keep in mind there will be major changes within the next 2 years just because of negotiations and lack of control. We can budget out anything and manage it if we can control it. These will be things that we can't control. They're out of our hands, but they'll still affect all of us. There's no action to be taken on this unless you guys want to make a change, but this will be what's advertised. This is going to be great.
Can you give me the numbers, what we're at?
Currently.
The ones that he said like five times now?
We're at a 2.4.
Write it down, though.
We're at a 2.47% increase.
Okay.
That increase takes into account
but our levy would drop.
Well, that's not putting it towards the levy. The levy would be
our budget increase.
The
budget
levy increase. Last year was 0.2. No, our levy.
No. Because this is if you use this valuation, so you can't.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Why they do that, I don't know. But there's your.
Our new levy with new valuations for the county portion. This doesn't take into account township, anything else. Would be 0.234958. 0.234958. That would be the county portion, not taking into account ag society, everyone else. So yes, the levy dropped quite a bit, but like I say, that's smoke and mirrors. The spending or the tax asking went up 2.47%, and I'm just going to say real rough numbers here. That is a difference of $280,000, $278,000-ish.
Tax asking went up that amount.
Yeah. So.
Valuation went up.
Yeah, we took it all from you.
But so tax asking did go up, very clear.
The county levy last year.
Levy went down.
0.266656. That was just the county's portion.
So it went down approximately.
You write it on my book.
Oops, I forgot I'm not supposed to write on that.
About 3 cents. I'll put another one. One about 3 cents.
Oops. I'm sorry.
Down about 3 cents.
Yeah.
No, you're fine.
The reminder that I'll throw out there, too, is that, you know, while valuations are going up now, and most likely they will, they won't come down, but there is, you know, that out there that they could. Valuations could come down, and if they do, you know, when you know, that tax asking number could escalate fairly quickly.
Several years ago.
Excuse me, not the asking number, the levy number.
That's a very good point, because several years ago, we were preparing for a downturn, and we lost $50 million in 1 year in valuation. It took 2 years to come back to even. We had prepared for a decrease, but like I told you guys, we had not prepared for that kind of decrease that quickly. But it did come back in a couple of years, and now it's soared. So Gary makes a really good point. Myron said that to us multiple times. You don't want to save yourself broke. You don't want to save yourself into a hole. I think this is a good spot. We've got some reserve. We're still at a modest increase. Everything still operates. We're getting everything we need still. But next year we may be looking at, again, rural fires going down, possibly townships going down, some outside agencies being decreased, not increased. It just depends on where we're at. You know, we're spending other people's money, and we just always have to remember that.
I think the state's attempt in special session to fix the taxation issue was a
start.
Fail.
I think it's a start.
Because the attempt, I mean, the real issue here, and what they needed to look at was the majority of your taxes go to schools. And so when you look at, like, what the county is spending, they go and cap and hinder and force issues on the taxing entities that aren't really causing your taxing issues.
I would agree with you. Like I say, there are petitions going. I've heard that will address the schools and will address the towns, and that's been brought up by other people. The counties are down somewhere low. The schools are the highest. Cities are the next, usually. Counties are down below. I'm not afraid of a cap. We've always been capped. We'll live within our means. But I would agree with you. We need to cap the spenders, not just the county.
I took mine home.
Okay, with that,
stewards.
We're going to... No, we're not.
I know it's, you know, when you're talking about taxes, it's other people's monies. The thing that we're going to have to balance as we move forward into next year, because you know wages are going to increase on the sheriff's side. You
know, everywhere.
Most likely everywhere, yes. But at some point here, we are going to have the hard decision. Are we going to go to 0% increases in wages, or are we going to lose services? At some point, you know, either we're going to spend more tax dollars in order to continue to give the same services, or we're going to have to reduce services, whether it's out of Mark's office, Lisa's office, Gus's office. It doesn't matter, Roger's office. We're going to have to look at reducing services if we're not willing to spend the dollar.
And I also want to bring up, you know, talking about the sheriff's office, in the last 9 years, we've gone from we've basically doubled our budget at the sheriff's department alone. That was already 10% of our budget. Well, when you double that, it starts growing into a bigger portion of our budget. It's growing faster than our county income is, dramatically. And I told Don when we started going into this, we're just going to look at every office. They're going to increase no more than what our tax asking has gone up. Well, the sheriff's initial budget was an 18% increase. It didn't work. We're down substantially from that. 18% on $1.7 million is a lot more than 18% on a couple hundred thousand. To provide the services, he needs the money. It's a rough gig because everybody wants law enforcement. Everybody wants that service, but like you said, what services are we actually going to provide? Which ones aren't? You can only do so much when costs swell.
And unfortunately, so many of our services are labor-intensive services
and required.
not only just county services, what other outside entities don't we fund? You know, like your nonprofits that we fund. I would say those would probably be honestly the first ones you'd have to look at, because that's not county function. So if they keep doing this, or where that budget or that cap ends up with the state, with the state kind of regulations, laws, those nonprofits are going to probably be the first things that go.
But as Eric touched on, Big Give Gage is a great opportunity to fund those that people believe in.
And I encourage people to get your wallets out. If you are a big believer in a cause, show it. Give money to it. If it goes directly from you to a charity, it goes direct. Sending it through the county and forcing a donation, it's not a good. I don't want that. I'd rather give money myself than somebody else take it and then decide where it goes. So give it yourself. We'll try. Maybe that's the thing. Maybe we back off all those. Anything else for the budget? It's going to be a great budget. I can feel it. Everybody's going to enjoy it. I think there are a lot of fans through all the offices that are in support of this budget. I see Sheriff is like making a fist. I think he's fist pumping me, so excited about it in the audience there.
It's kind of great again.
This is going to be great. This is going to be one of the best budgets ever. So this is what we'll advertise unless we hear anything other. Well, it's too late. This is what we're going to advertise.
It's a done deal.
And it'll be on your agenda to vote on next meeting.
The only thing that isn't done is if you want to increase your tax asking, because I have to get a notice for the joint public hearing.
Boo.
On that, that software deal.
Yeah, that will have to be out of
the find that outside, are we outside the...
We'll have to take that
outside
out of
the
here.
Budget.
Okay, that's... I just wanted to make sure I didn't leave a real mess.
I do have...
No,
two closed session items to discuss. I would ask for a motion to go into closed session at 10:28.
Next year's.
Motion by Lytle, second by Adams, Claybaugh, second by Claybaugh to go into closed session at 10:28 for discussion on personnel and then negotiations. Please vote. 6 in favor with Juergens gone. We're in closed session.
Are we ready?
We're ready. It asks for a motion to come out of closed session at 11:13.
Go ahead.
So move.
The spurs on the sharpener.
Claybaugh.
Boy, I'm just shocked.
Fitty.
Second by Dorn.
Okay.
Motion to come out. Second by Dorn. At 11:13, please vote. 6 in favor. Juergens gone. We're in open session. Anything else for the good of the order? Who else did we lose? Oh, Haxby also gone. 5 in favor. With Juergens and Haxby disappearing.
We take ourselves out. That's not good.
Nothing else for the good of the order. We'll adjourn at 11:13.